Today we're going to discuss parenting the overweight child. When a child is too heavy, parents have tremendous concerns. Sometimes they're worried about the child's actual health and well-being. If not now, somewhere down the line, they're worried that perhaps the child will suffer various health conditions because of being too heavy. Sometimes the parents feel shame because the child is heavy and doesn't look right according to the parent's image. Or sometimes the child who is overweight is actually a reflection of the parent's own issue with overweight that they've dealt with their entire life. And because of that, it's not just shame that the child doesn't look right, but it's also the burden of pain that the parent knows from personal experience that accompanies the overweight child, because kids tease each other and they're mean to each other about these issues. Of course, they're mean to each other about all kinds of issues, from freckles to curly hair to who knows what, you know, too dark skin to light skin, whatever it is, they're always mean. But if a child is overweight, then that's what they're going to be picked on for, probably. And parents who went through that experience or just went through the terrible struggle with food and their parents with food and life with food and restricting food and wanting food and all that stuff, they don't want this for their child. And yet sometimes they're looking at their child and the child is reliving the parents' pain. So there's tremendous just suffering on the parents' part for the child, sort of like feeling the parents' own pain and feeling the child's pain. And then there's that common parental feeling of helplessness. And this, of course, all the issues we're going to talk about pertaining to the overweight child really have to do with every kind of child, not just the overweight child, but parental helplessness, for example, that we cannot control the child, cannot make the child eat what we want the child to eat, or think what we want the child to think, or say what we want the child to say, or anything, right? There are limits to parental power, which we just hate to encounter. But when you're looking at a child who everybody can see you're not controlling, right? It's almost like some form of bad behavior. You know, you can't get this child to eat within his limits. And so everybody points a finger at you. So there's also parental guilt, another perennial favorite. So there's so many wonderful parental emotions. But whatever it is, it's not usually a comfortable state for the parents when their child has weight issues. So the parent has their own suffering, which is very real. It's not all about the child here. And in fact, because the parent has so many feelings about this, and the one we didn't mention yet that goes along with helplessness is anger, right? We can be mad at a kid for refusing to comply with our food standards or our food rules in our house. So this can just, you know, drive a parent over the top there, because they want the child to be healthy, right? They want the child to look good and feel good and have lots of good childish energy and not be lethargic and drawn down by weight, not be laughed at by peers, not be, you know, pointed fingers at or all that stuff. You know, the parent wants it and can't get it, and that makes the parent angry and so frustrated with the child. So, you know, it's not fun parenting an overweight child. Now, it's, you know, people will look at the child and point at the parents and say, well, this is all your fault. You know, why don't you just control your child? And whether the parent is dealing with their own weight issues or not, this issue of other people thinking that, you know, this is all up to the parent, what the child eats is all up to the parent, it's really wrong. Just like when anybody thinks that anything to do with the child is all up to the parent. Actually, not that much is up to the parent. I hate to, you know, burst your bubble here, but we don't have that much control, which if you're parenting an overweight child, you already know that. You know, you just cannot make a child do all that much. You can teach a child. Whether the child uses that lesson is out of your control. You can inspire a child, and what they do with that inspiration is also out of your control. So, you know, you can model the right way of being, and whether the child accepts or rejects your model is out of your control. So why are kids fat? Okay, well, a lot of it has to do with genes. Okay, they inherit a certain way of processing their food. But of course, it's not all up to genes. It's just a tendency that certain people will go for food as a way of regulating their moods and all kinds of things, whereas other people will never do that. And it's not just a matter of modeling. There are children who are underweight because they don't like food. And that's not because the parents taught them to not like food, right? They just have very little appetite or very little interest in food, or they're impossibly fussy, finicky eaters, whatever it is. And that's not because the parents are modeling that or teaching that or anything at all to do with that. It's just the way the child is. And so when we say genes have a lot to do with the overweight child, that child's love of food or need for food or the way the body metabolizes food, but it's not even just the metabolism, it's actually the craving for food and the intense relationship with food that is carried in the genes, just as repulsion for food is carried there. Now, that's part of the problem, but of course, the food itself is a huge problem, right? So, you know, people are overweight because they consume too much food. The big question is, why do they do that, right? And researchers are looking for answers. We just said that has something to do with genes, but, you know, bottom line, if you could stop somebody from putting all that food in their mouth, they would not be so overweight. So, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to put it this way, but, you know, overweight has to do with poor eating habits. And I say it's ridiculous to put it that way because it's not like parents don't teach their kids good eating habits. And a parent with an overweight child is almost always trying to teach that child good eating habits. Now, there are some families where everybody in the family does have a weight issue. Mom does, dad does, all the kids do. And their whole eating style is certainly being poorly modeled, let's say, like by the parents. Like the whole family is eating too much of the wrong kinds of food. But then we'll ask the question, well, why are the parents into that? And then we're going to go back to those genes, you know. Genes, because in every culture, there are some overweight people and there are less overweight people. So we could say, you know, I've, you know, got some good friends who are Italian and the whole family is overweight. And the woman says, well, you know, it's because we're Italian. We like all our pasta. Well, yes, that's partly true. But, and in fact, this particular family eats pasta, you know, many times a week. And there, and she can explain why each member of that family is overweight, because not just the pasta, but the whole way of eating. They all love their food. But that doesn't go for every single Italian person, right? It's just, you know, there are people who are of average weight, normal weight, healthy weight, underweight, and overweight in the Italian culture and in the Jewish culture and in every culture in the world. So it's not, we can't really say that the lifestyle itself contributes. A lot of people say, you know, the Jewish culture, for example, with all of its, you know, holidays and weekly Sabbath meals and, you know, it's and the love of food, it's impossible to be a normal weight. But of course, there are many, many people who are eating all, you know, enjoying the Jewish lifestyle, and they are not suffering from the overweight problem. So it's more complex than just culture or environment. But we'll have to say that, you know, food is, the consumption of food is the thing that directly leads to overweight. We just don't know why some people want to consume more food than others. Now, the North American culture right now, by the way, is an obese culture. And the percentage of children in this culture who are overweight is really enormous right now. I think I read something recently about, I'll have to check my sources on this, but I know the number was around 70% of children are overweight right now. But I'll have to go back and find out what source said that, so don't quote me on it. But, I mean, it, you know, children are having food issues. Why don't we just say it that way? And part of the problem there is our sedentary lifestyle. So we're eating too much, and then we're not working it off. As children spend more and more hours sitting in school, sitting in front of a computer, being driven back and forth from school, you know, there's just no way for them to work that off. So the sedentary lifestyle is definitely contributing to the weight problems in kids. Occasionally, of course, there can be medical issues. So It's you always, when you have a child who is suffering from some sort of obesity or weight issue, that child should be seen by their medical pediatrician, just to make sure that there is no underlying medical problem, because certain things can contribute to being overweight. So, but that's a very small percentage of kids who are suffering from medical issues, actually. So we're, you know, this discussion will focus on the more likely idea that kids' overweight problems are not to do with medical issues. Generally speaking, they're to do with wanting to eat. And again, we're not going to say why they want to eat, because we don't know why. But there are certain parenting problems that come out of the hungry child. For example, parents will often fight and argue with kids about what they can and can't eat, or kids will argue with their parents, let's put it that way. Why can't I have it? I want it. I need it. They have it. It's not fair. You know, this. If a parent tries to restrict a child, the child really feels that it's not fair. Other kids in the house can eat those delicious foods or eat more of them, and or other kids in the schoolyard can eat them. Or in general, other people can eat them, so why can't they? And children have a terrible time being put on a diet that is a restrictive food intake. And they're not very compliant with those diets. I mean, if parents try to use the diet approach or the restricting the food approach, children usually find a way to maintain their weight. So they, you know, they'll get food off the playground, or they'll sneak it in their house, and then they have this whole side of their personality that becomes sneaky and guilty for being sneaky, and sort of begins to warp their personality a bit, this whole dynamic and struggle for the food. Another parental trap is the lecturing and preaching and telling over and over, you know, do you want to be fat? It's not good for you. No, nobody's going to like you if you're fat. Children will pick on you. When you grow up, nobody will want to marry you. You know, dire warnings and threats and scary kinds of information will not only not help a child, but again, all those messages are so negative and so insulting, and they just harm a child. But parents will try and scare the wits out of their kids sometimes, because they're frantic, again, with that helplessness. Some parents try to control how loud or how long they will speak about overweight issues, and they just sort of keep their anger to themselves, where it boils and boils inside, and therefore it leaks out. You know, like it just sort of boils over the top a little bit, and we get sarcasm or mockery or name-calling, which is probably, you know, one of the worst things a parent can ever do to a child. But I do know a parent, for example, who called her child, you know, fatso, because I guess she did that only when she was angry. The parent was angry when she did that. But you can imagine the pain, the sting, and the horrible, horrible feelings the child must have felt. So, I mean, that's because the anger sometimes of a parent is bottled up, and they have no one to talk to. Sometimes people, you know, are parenting an overweight child, and they just don't talk about their frustrations to anybody. So the frustration stays, you know, too close to the surface on the inside of them and can accidentally spill out towards the child. You know, what we need to do is recognize that it is hard to parent a child who has eating issues. It's really hard, whether those issues are, you know, there's a lot of talk in the news about anorexia and kids starving themselves, and that's very hard to deal with. But, you know, the more common problem is kids stuffing themselves, and that is hard to deal with as a parent. So is there anything that a parent can do? Now, we've said that parents don't really know why their kids are eating, or if the parent, him or herself, is overweight, that parent also has been struggling against their own self, their own inner demons, their whole life, without knowing why they have such a battle, right? Because the reason nobody knows is because nobody knows. This is one of the mysteries of the universe for us right now. We don't know why we struggle with food. To say that, you know, we want to comfort ourselves with food, well, that's not explanatory, because a lot of people don't comfort themselves with food, apart from the little daily mood-altering things that we do. So everybody does tries to affect their own circadian rhythms, which is our energy goes up and down by itself throughout the day, just up and down and up and down according to our inner body clock. And when it goes down, then often we will reach for something a little sugary or with a little caffeine in it or something to bring us back up. And most people who are normal weight will be helping themselves to something very moderate, right, when they do that. So it might be a drink of tea, or it might be even, it could be a junk food thing, but it'll be a small junk food thing for somebody who is abnormal weight. Whereas people who have weight issues, when they go to affect their, try to intervene with their circadian rhythm, they actually do that with too much food. Okay, they're overdosing. So we don't know why that is. Or we say comfort food, but like I said, not everybody comforts themselves when they're stressed with food. Some people can't eat when they're stressed. In fact, they lose weight when they're stressed. So there's something going on. The question is, we don't know for the adult, so how can we help the child? And we tend to be more optimistic for children. You know, we may have met, you know, zillions of adults who are in their 50s and 60s continuing to struggle with the weight problem they've had since they were 5, right, or 8, or whatever, whenever it started. So we can look around and say, gosh, this has got to be the hardest battle of all the battles. I mean, compared to other addictions, the obesity thing has a much lower rate of cure. Or even, we don't say cure for addictions necessarily, but coming into line, like, you know, there are people who smoke and really do give up smoking, and people who drink and really do give up drinking, and so on. You know, the numbers, there's a certain percentage of alcoholics who will recover, a certain percentage of drug addicts who will recover, but in terms of food addicts, that percentage who will recover, and fortunately there are many who will recover, but that percentage is lower than for every other addictive problem. So there's something really complex and hard going on here. A person who struggles with weight themselves needs to be so compassionate towards themselves. It's not that they're bad or that they lack self-control. You know, sometimes we look at it that way, and we might say that to the child too. You just can't control yourself, you know. You don't know when to stop. Yeah, well, but it's not the child's fault. Okay, it is this kind of food craving or food addiction is really hard to beat. Now, it's true that in a culture where food is all over the place, many more people will have the problem manifested. So same thing where, you know, when there's no alcohol to be found, then we have no alcoholics, even though the person could be an addict, right? They're just not going to have the chance for it. In our culture where there's plenty of food, more people will manifest their addiction for food. And it is an addiction, so we need compassion for ourselves when we're struggling with food, and definitely for our children. We must be kind to them. We can acknowledge to them how hard it is to say no to food, what a battle it is, and how frustrating and upsetting it is to have to say no to some food or some amount of food that we want. So this emotional coaching and sort of entering the battle with the child instead of against the child can be something that a parent can do. When a child is having weight issues, sometimes the child is in denial, so like other addicts, right? So taking the child to the doctor to find out, are you in the normal weight or are you in a higher percentage? Is there a problem here? And let the doctor tell the child directly, you are heavier than you should be, okay? And you need to do something about it because your health will be affected. So the doctor saying, you know, as an authority figure, and not being so personally involved, is really the better person to break the news to the child that something should be done. And then the doctor can hopefully write out a referral to a dietitian or a nutritionist or somebody, and it's all very official looking. Here's what we're going to do about it. And then the child should go with the family to the nutritionist, dietitian, whoever's going to be the expert, to help discuss what kinds of foods and what amounts of foods will be helpful. But that's just the skeleton, right? That's just the outside. Then the real battle begins. I mean, but those steps need to be taken so that the issue does not become a parent-child battle, but rather an issue for the child that the child has to deal with him or herself. And having the child have his own professional, that is, this is your nutritionist, you know, makes this an impersonal problem. And sometimes it's the family who's going to have to go to the nutritionist, and the whole family is going to deal with the problem together, because, like I said before, many times it is the whole family that's affected. So once the dietitian puts things in place, hopefully there will be plenty of room to have child-friendly foods, you know, treats, candies, etc., in moderation, like people who don't have weight problems eat all of those foods in moderation, usually. I mean, we're not talking about somebody be going on some weird aesthetic diet where there's no fun in it, right? We're talking about people of normal weight have, they have fun with their food. They just don't have fun 3 times a day or 10 times a day, you know, in large amounts. They just limit the amount of fun. So hopefully the dietitian can put something into place where the child will not feel unduly restricted or deprived. And of course, the sooner you get your overweight child to the doctor and to the dietitian, the less restrictive any repair program will have to be, right? So a program of rehabilitation for a child who's 10 pounds overweight is going to be a lot easier to endure than one who's 20, 30, 40, 50 or more pounds overweight. So I would say don't wait, you know, for that step. Do it right away. And you know, just in case people are have gotten to the habit of using food to comfort themselves, whatever, you want to make sure that communication is open in the family, that you're talking about issues, that you're talking about feelings, particularly about being the days when you feel stressed, you talk about your stress and what you did for yourself. You model and teach stress management skills so that everything does not become a bag of chips, a chocolate bar, and, you know, a Coke in order to feel better, right? We have to have alternative ways of comforting ourselves so that even though we naturally move towards the food, we have other options. That's what you want to teach the child, that, yeah, food would do it, but with a cost, right? You'll feel a bit better for a few minutes, but then there's those pounds that are going to go on, and you're going to feel a lot worse for your whole life. So here are other things that you can do when you're feeling crummy. And some of those things include just moving, getting up and moving, running around, playing ping pong, going for a walk, calling a friend, being social. You know, overweight people tend to isolate a lot. We said before that being sedentary and being overweight goes together. So there you have somebody who's alone in their house in front of the computer with their food or in front of the TV or whatever they're doing, you know, sitting basically and eating or munching. Alone. You don't find, you know, okay, yes, people can go out socially, they go out for coffee, but they, coffee for an adult, right? When kids go out socially, they don't go out for coffee, they go out to play, and they run around, and they talk to each other, and they play games and so on. So a little bit encouraging some social activity is really good, and even getting on the phone just to talk to other people can make that need for food disappear, because when we satisfy ourselves emotionally, we're less hungry. Again, we're not saying why there was hunger there in the first place. We're just saying in a rehabilitation program, if you teach your child options, they will just turn to food a little bit less. And once the food is laid out for them in a healthy way, the food itself can reduce cravings. So, for example, the more sugar a person has, the more sugar the body wants. And once that dietitian gets on the scene and sort of modifies the diet, the actual craving for carbohydrates or foods or fattening things, whatever it is, will get less and less because the food intake itself will modify those cravings. But again, acknowledging the whole time, this is hard. This is a struggle. We're working against the natural way that your body wants to go, and being sympathetic, very sympathetic and supportive for the child. You know, skipping all those lectures, skipping any negativity, and just replacing it with compassion and strategies, right? What can we do that will help reduce the need to eat? Now, reducing sedentary behaviors is good by itself. Sign your child up to a karate program, a sports team, you know, swimming lessons, whatever it is, and try and keep that child physically busy. keep your screens perhaps to a minimum in terms of how often or how long a day a child is allowed to be sitting in front of anything. And then, encourage activities that involve moving anything, just moving the body, just get up and move. Even just any activity which is standing up will be better than sitting down. So teaching kids, how to help in the kitchen will not actually make them more obese. It'll keep them busy, right? While they're baking things for Shabbos or something, they're getting ready, helping the family get ready for dinner. But moving, right? It doesn't matter that it's around food or not around food. In warm months and in safe places, playing outdoors is the best. And we should just try and be aware of how much the child is just doing nothing, just sitting down alone, and try to break that up. So there are some steps that we can do. Of course, the parents have to model all of that. You can't have one standard for the child and a different standard for the parent. It can't be okay for the parent to be 100 pounds overweight and the child, to be expected to overcome their addiction all alone. So when the family is suffering the same problem together, they must work on it together and support each other and comfort each other with, again, it is terribly hard. Guilt is out of place. People beat themselves up the entire lives because they cannot conquer their food issues. So, it's because it's bigger than the person. It's something, there's some reason for this that I said we still don't understand. This is one area. I mean, we've gone to the moon, but we have not conquered obesity. And we just have not figured out what's going on there. So, and the problem, in fact, is just getting worse as we have more and more food available to us. So, of the wrong kind, actually. So, guilt, don't guilt your child out. Don't guilt yourself out. Just name those feelings again of sometimes feeling frustrated, helpless to curb our activity with food. Sometimes just being so mad at ourselves and wishing it could be different, and just all those feelings, talking about them, naming them, and finding alternative ways to use our time and our energy, and learning about good food habits and using the food itself to reduce our cravings. So those are some of the things that can be done. But be prepared. This is a long haul, usually a lifetime issue with people who do have this issue. So, it's not just a matter of patience, but it's a matter of tremendous love and patience and understanding and sympathy, for this issue. So that's it for dealing with the overweight child.